Hi, my name is Eric Anzalone. Welcome to What Matters Most. And today we're coming to you from the chip factory in Pipersville, Pennsylvania. It's the home of Brad's Raw Chips. And our guest today is David Avocado Wolf. David is going to be talking a little later here today. He is an eco, health, nutrition, and natural beauty expert with over 16 years of dedicated experience and understanding to the inner workings of the human body. And when I tell you that he is a true living master of someone who walks the talk, I'm not kidding. He is an A-lister, a road dog. We've just had 15 minutes of talk sharing road stories. But he's one of those people that definitely understands the road to higher levels of natural beauty, vibrant health, and peak performance. He's also talks the walk. Again, that's why he's here today to talk about it. And he's a highly sought after health and personal success speaker. He's done over
2,500 live events
over the past 16 years. And along with being that, he's a best-selling author. He's the co-founder of thebestdayever.com, which is an online health magazine. And he's the president of the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation with a mission to plant 18 billion trees?
That's right.
Oh my God, on the planet. But what we're really excited to talk to David about today is he's a gourmet chocolatier. He's a passionate proponent of the healing and beautifying power of raw chocolate. And by bringing raw cacao products into distribution here in North America, he perpetuates the or promotes the economies of indigenous cultures.
That's right.
Yeah. Through ethical business. So, welcome, David.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Now I got to ask you first before we get to the chocolate. So you're a raw foodie. I mean, how does something like that happen? You know, do you just
The truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
It's part of the unique cultural milieu that I grew up in. I'm originally from the East Coast. My parents are medical doctors. I'm from the Jersey Shore, actually. I'm from that spot where that show is
Fist
from.
Fist pump. Yeah.
Yeah, right there. Really? That's exactly where I was born and where I'm from. And then we moved in 1980 when I was 10 years old over to Southern California. So then I was kind of inculcated with that Southern California surfer, natural foods, energy, and that all kind of came to a head and kind of turned me into a raw foodist, I guess, starting in when I was about 18 or 19 and culminating when I was about 23. And that's also given me the unique perspective that allowed this whole raw chocolate revolution, which is transforming the entire chocolate industry.
Yeah, so how did you stumble onto the raw chocolate thing? Did you read an article? Did you try some raw chocolate or?
No, I mean, back then there was no such thing as raw chocolate. No one even knew what it was. I didn't even know where chocolate came from.
Then where'd you get the idea?
So what happened was I was in Maui at a friend's place and there was cacao beans were showing up there. I didn't know what they were. I just asked my friends, what do we do with these? And they said, oh, peel them and throw them into a smoothie. Because we would make these huge coconut smoothies after this intense yoga that we would go to. Yeah. And then the first year, maybe like 10 of them. Then second year, it was like hundreds of them floating around, these cacao beans. I didn't know what the heck they were. So my friend and I were having a conversation while peeling them one day. And he said, have you ever just eaten one? And I said, no, I never have. So I just ate one right there. And it was like the cacao god appeared,
yeah.
Right? It was like this whole download occurred of this whole thing of chocolate. This is the most widely eaten nut in the world.
Sure.
Except nobody eats it.
What is it bitter?
It's all processed. It's bitter, yes, but it's doable.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you eat it, you go, oh, whoa, that's flavor. And then that began to innovate a whole raw cacao bean industry, raw nibs, which are cacao bean pieces, really just driving us back to the original food where it all came from, because we all have had processed chocolate, but never the real raw material.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like this. Imagine you never had a real almond before. All you had was almond butter, almond oil, but you never had a real almond before. That's what it's like.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to have to. But here in Pennsylvania or in Jersey, we can't just go out and buy cacao beans, can you?
You can. Now you can.
Oh, yeah. You can?
It's because of the work I've been doing for the past 10 years.
Okay. Now then, so then tell me, what are the components of raw? I mean, what, like raw chocolate, how does it go from the cacao bean into something that we would recognize as chocolate?
Okay, yeah. Well, first and foremost, the cacao bean is chocolate. You cannot have chocolate without cacao. Okay. They're intertwined. Yeah. So really what a chocolate bar is a nut butter made out of cacao.
Okay.
Okay, now I say cacao bean, but it's really a nut. It's botanically a nut, like a walnut or an almond or mm-hmm. cashew or something. If you were to press that in a press and squeeze the oil out, that would be cocoa butter, a cacao butter. If that's done at a low temperature, like low temperature processed virgin olive oil, for example, then that would be raw cacao butter. And then the fine milled material that's left over at the bottom, you know, the cake that gets then milled down, that material is then raw cacao powder. Now, if you take those two and put them together, you're going to actually have what we notice and recognize and taste as chocolate. That's raw chocolate.
Wow. And then when you see something like a Hershey bar or one of those kind of processed, is it like blasphemous to you now that you've, you know, been eating raw chocolate, or do you still occasionally have a little bite of a Hershey bar? Ooh, that's...
It's like Mad Dog 2020 or Night Train or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the people who are into wine,
yeah,
they like wine. They're not going to go out and drink Mad Dog, or they're not going to go out and drink Night Train. Uh-huh. So it's kind of like that. I look at that kind of junk food chocolate. It's like, that stuff's like fortified wine. You don't even touch that.
Right. So talk a little bit about the cultural history of chocolate, or it's had ancient medicinal uses. And
The history of chocolate is incredible. I wrote a book on chocolate called Naked Chocolate.
Okay.
And in that book, I researched the entire history of chocolate and everything that we know about it today. And basically, chocolate comes from the New World. It comes from the jungles of Central America and Northern South America. Amazonian shamans actually had chocolate thousands of years ago. Same is true in Costa Rica and Nicaragua and Guatemala and those countries even today. They're still growing there.
I don't want to say that chocolate is a junk food, because obviously now we're getting into a whole area where it's not, but was it like a treat to them, or was it more like a food of the gods?
It was the food of the gods.
Right.
It was their most sacred food.
Okay.
Cacao beans were exchanged in marriages. They used to baptize newborn babies long before Columbus in chocolate water. It's holy and sacred to indigenous peoples of the New World. And gradually what happened was, when Cortez came over, and he was the first European after Columbus to realize, like, whoa, these people love these cacao beans. They thought they were almonds. They thought they were crazy about almonds. That's what Columbus said. But Cortez was the first one to really probably bring it out of Mexico and out of Central America and bring it back to Europe. It's not known for sure, but it's suspected. Yeah. In 1528, he brought it back to Europe. And that began the growth of chocolate in the Old World.
And then how did it go from, like, this brown gold, this treasure from the New World, to get such a bad rap? I mean, you know, now it's like, it's obviously not the chocolate or the cacao, it's everything else in it, right?
Right.
Because like my daughter, who's 14, she loves chocolate, but she's worried about eating it because she's going to get zits or something. I mean, does cacao and chocolate really cause zits, or is this something that's...
There's been a huge amount of research on that. Like, does chocolate cause allergies? And yes, some people are allergic to nuts, but most of those allergies, like the zits and all of that, that's caused by the sugar.
That's what I figured.
Right, and that we kind of know that. We suspect that. So I recommend raw dark chocolate. Mm. And that's where you're going to get those antioxidant compounds. Now, we found out in the research over the last 10 years that chocolate is the number one antioxidant food in the world.
No,
which would indicate that it'd probably be the number one longevity food in the world, which it appears that it is.
Wow, so it's like you could go to the doctor and have all these things ailing, and they go, well, I'm going to write you up a prescription for...
Heart trouble.
Right.
Trouble. There's no question now, based on the research, that chocolate is the best single food for your heart. It's better than coenzyme Q10, than cayenne pepper, than garlic. Any of these things that we take for our heart, chocolate is number one by a large factor.
Now, I would say to any of our viewers, go out and get yourself then some raw chocolate. But let's say that they can't find it. What's the percentage? You know, you always see the percentage.
Yeah.
What's the percentage that you should not go below, or is there?
Well, you want to get organic bars that are over 70%. Oh. That's kind of where you want to land.
Uh-huh.
And quality does count. So you want to find a reputable brand that you really like. And the thing about chocolate is, it's a reward. It's a treat. And how do you train a dog? How do you train a gerbil? How do you train a dolphin?
Yeah.
You've got to treat them. And you treat them with food. So how do you train a human? Right, you have to have treats, and what's the treat going to be?
So, that's you train them, or also to say you're sorry.
Right, yeah, here's exactly. Here's a box of chocolates. Right. This will sort things out.
And on that subject, actually, chocolate's an aphrodisiac?
Yeah, it's always been considered an aphrodisiac. It's always been known to be an aphrodisiac. And yeah, it gets the love juices going, so to speak.
So then would you call chocolate a food or a drug?
Ooh.
Or is that kind of a silly way to put it, because I guess all food is a drug in a way. It affects our body in a certain way, but right?
I call it a superfood.
A superfood?
Because it's a food, but it's got a few bangs for the buck.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, we won't go there. Okay, now your chocolate comes from Noni Land, which, right?
Right. I got into chocolate about 10 or 11 years ago now, when I really had this whole raw chocolate revelation.
Okay.
And then I was in Amsterdam a few years after that, and I heard this guy say at this shop that I was in, he said, one day I'm going to move out of here, I'm going to get a chocolate farm. And I thought, wait a second, you're going to get a chocolate farm? And that just planted that seed. So I started a chocolate farm about 6 years ago, and it's called Noni Land, and we've grown chocolate from seed on that farm.
You're growing vanilla bean plants with the cacao?
That's right. Yes. So vanilla is an orchid. It's an aerial plant. So basically, vanilla can survive without even touching the ground. And it grows in other trees. So one day, we got a huge amount of vanilla. And we had it brought to our farm. And I let it grow in the nursery for about a year. And then I thought, I got to put this out there. I mean, this is getting too big for the nursery. Oh. So I thought, where am I going to put it? And I thought, well, how about in the cacao trees, the chocolate trees? So I have now chocolate trees growing with vanilla. And they've been growing together for years now.
Do you use the vanilla when you make the chocolate? Is it, you know what I mean? Is it the vanilla part of the chocolate making process?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is the thing they say about cacao, is that whatever's growing around it and with it, it takes those flavors on.
When I saw that, I thought, wow, you could actually grow like strawberries with the chocolate stuff too. Yeah?
Yes. And berries of all kinds. Sure.
That's fascinating.
It's amazing. I mean, there's nothing more incredible than a chocolate farm. There's nothing more incredible than growing chocolate.
But now, are you, correct me if I'm wrong, but on your video that I watched, each tree, you've kind of made a little room for each tree.
That's right.
And like they have names, and that you can actually, when you eat a sacred chocolate, you can see the tree where it came from, right?
That's right, yes.
That's fabulous.
It's amazing. Yeah, we have actually taken this idea of single estate origin and terroir to its appropriate end, which is, this is the tree, and here's chocolate bars made from this tree. There's the vanilla growing around it and has that vanilla in it. So it's 100% that tree. And then I'll tell you the story of that tree. Well, we use spirulina from the Big Island of Hawaii as manure to feed this, you know, and fertilize this tree. We've used rock dust from the Wailua River Valley that we brought down and threw it on that tree. We've built up the soil using composting, and here's our compost pit, and here's what's gone into it. And I tell the whole story about it. So each bar has its own story.
Yeah, that just makes it like a ritual in itself to eat the chocolate. It's like the circle of life.
It's sacred.
Oh yeah. Let's get to that now. Obviously, the chocolates come in the shape of a heart, right? We've already talked about how it's good for the heart. But your partner, Steven Adler.
That's right.
Sacred Steve. He actually, talk a little bit about, he does blessings and prayers over the chocolate.
He's actually a minister. Okay. He's actually a minister, and he and the team there pray over the chocolate. So they pray that it's going to have good benefits for people, that it's going to be healthy, that it's going to support health, that it's going to be fun, it's going to provide people with solace for their woes, that kind of thing.
Right.
Those prayers go into every batch. So there's no batch that comes out of that chocolate factory that hasn't been actually prayed over with good, positive intentions. And the research indicates that chocolate does react to it. There's been double-blind research, absolutely. There's double-blind research that indicates that if somebody prays over one batch of chocolate and then they mix it with another batch of chocolate, so nobody knows which one's which, then they feed it to a group of people, say 100 people, that those people who ate the prayed-over chocolate or the blessed chocolate will respond better than those who ate just regular chocolate.
Wow.
Even if it's the same chocolate.
You listening, Anheuser-Busch? Pray over all the Bud Light. That way. Now, Steve, though, he's like a rocket scientist.
He is literally a rocket scientist. He's a Stanford-trained rocket scientist. One of his graduate projects was to design the booster system the maneuverability system of the space station. So that was his focus when he was a graduate student. But he ended up getting into computers really deeply, and then inevitably, he ran into me, and then I sent him a bag of cacao beans.
Okay. Wait, I didn't get the connection from computers to inevitably.
Well, he's a food fanatic, right? Okay. So he's into the same kind of food stuff as I am. And so we ran into each other, and then over a period of years, we were really good friends. And then one day I sent him a bag of cacao beans, and I said, check this out. And he just had like a really shocking change of heart about what he's going to do with his life. He's like, I want to focus on this. This is amazing. I can't even believe what this raw chocolate is. Yeah. And it changed his life.
Yeah. So, and is he the one who developed the process of turning it, I mean, using his scientific...
Right, yes.
His mind, of actually turning the raw cacao bean into something that we would recognize as chocolate?
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. And he's got that down better than anybody in the world. He's actually cracked a very, very big secret. And it's a very, very tightly held secret in our operation, actually.
Yeah, and you guys have to check out the video on the website. He's like Willy Wonka, psychedelic Willy Wonka. He's like, well, love, and it's fabulous. It seems like he's got such a great energy. Without praying over, just him being in the presence.
He has a great energy, and I have to tell you, I've never seen somebody work so hard. Mm-hmm. He has worked in that factory year after year after year for very little return. Because to get a company that goes from bean to bar, does everything low temperature, stone on stone grinding, all of the original old-time ways of doing things is in America, it's very, very expensive. And so it's a very high-end product.
And what are some of the, we're not just talking about like a chocolate bar. You have different kinds of the chocolate bars, right? What are some of your biggest sellers?
Our milk is a big seller. It's MYLK, contains actually no milk in it. It's all coconut, actually. It's coconut and chocolate together.
Oh.
So it's really a great product, and it's our best seller. Yeah. We also have a really interesting herbal bar.
Is that the one with the Brazilian?
Yes.
From the
Brazilian
Amazon?
Herbs, yes. And the Amazonian herbs, and that was a project that Steve and I worked on together, and it just was a hit. It just hit, and so it's been a big hit for about 5 years. That Amazonian chocolate bar, and then we have a really nice immuno mushroom bar, which is all the medicinal mushrooms with chocolate, which is the traditional way that they use chocolate in Central America. They would take mushrooms from the forest that were medicinal, had healing qualities, and they would mix it with chocolate. Mm-hmm. And so we have that. We also have just regular chocolate bars, like the Twilight Dark. That's that's kind of my favorite, actually, 69%. And then we have the Midnight Dark, which is 83%. And then we have actually 100% cacao bar. We've got quite a few different variants in there. Diabetic-friendly, too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Awesome. Do you get testimonials, or can you share any stories of people where perhaps chocolate has, when they started eating raw chocolate, has changed them?
Oh, I have so many stories of that. I have more stories of that.
Is there a good one that you can think of?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had people, come to me and tell me that it really got them out of being neurotic in their mind and got them into their heart and more feeling. Because that's what chocolate does. Chocolate makes you more of a feeling type of person, a more kinesthetic type of person, a person who goes on intuition more rather than constantly having to rotate everything up here in the noggin, which can get a little neurotic. So I've had a lot of people tell me that over the years. I've had people tell me that it was very, very powerful against their asthma. Chocolate is very powerful against asthma. It's the most powerful thing there is against asthma. I've had some pretty shocking testimonials in that regard. I've also had testimonials in regard to MS. Chocolate is right on the button for MS,
no kidding.
Multiple sclerosis. Yeah, for some reason, whatever that particular condition is, chocolate hits that condition and alleviates the symptoms for a period of time. So it's therapeutic for that condition.
What about digestion at all?
Well, chocolate is really great for digestion because it contains a huge amount of soluble and insoluble fiber. Mm. So it's really able to pull everything through. It's an incredible digestive aid.
But when
actually
you say soluble and insoluble, I mean, you're talking about like your kind of chocolate, not the Hershey bar, which is all pulverized and heated up,
it's massively heated. Now, the thing is, it still does contain some real cacao.
Oh.
It may come from sweatshop labor kind of situations
right.
And unbelievably horrible situations that are going on out there. But see, they've never been able to knock off the flavor of cacao because it's too complex. It's the most complex flavor in the world. They've knocked off vanilla. They just use vanillin. Yeah. And they got rid of vanilla, but you can't knock off chocolate. So even the junkiest chocolate in the world will actually contain something that's good.
Mm. Have you thought about making like chocolate sauces to put like on ice cream?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, moles. We do all kinds of moles. We even revived Tejate, which is a Oaxaca recipe down in Mexico. And I've revived actually all the ancient recipes in my Naked Chocolate book. Awesome. And we do those things at various events, various dinners that we do. Mm-hmm. We just had a wonderful dinner in Baltimore where we served people a beautiful chocolate course. It was amazing. It's really a fun, incredibly eloquent and elegant food to work with. Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. Now,
it is.
We're going to wrap things up here, but as always at the end of our show, which is called What Matters Most, we like to ask our guests what matters most. And when I say that, I mean like, what is that lasting footprint, not your carbon footprint, obviously, but what is that lasting image that you want to leave with this planet? Is there one or are you?
Well, with sacred chocolate, it's the sacredness and love that we have for chocolate and that chocolate represents in our world. Chocolate is really an important food in our world. It really comforts people's hearts. For me, my footprint is also related to that. Mm-hmm. It's about the love that I have for the planet and the love that I have for plants. And I'm hopefully inspiring other people to take on that love. You know, I'm a fanatic when it comes to gardening. I'm a fanatic when it comes to growing trees. It's like a deep passion. I'm out there at 3 a.m. I mean, it's like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's full on.
Well, it is a grounding experience when you're actually working with the earth and yeah,
it's so much fun.
Energy.
Yeah, you are, and it's like sacred. It's holy. It's a communion with a higher power, which is, you know, God, basically. That's what these things are. These plants and our earth is like, you know, it's an emanation of God. So it's a communion.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I was thinking about raw food. It seems like our bodies were made through evolution. We were intended to eat raw food.
Right.
Right.
Yes,
so we were made to eat raw food. And this cooking thing just...
It's out of control. I mean, cooking serves a purpose. It's like a food preservation technology, or it can take something that's toxic and actually, you know, make useful.
It, right.
Like beans, for example. Most beans are toxic raw, but you cook them, you can make them edible. So it's survival.
Are you 100%
raw food
guy?
Yeah, I'm basically 100% raw food guy.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I don't need the other stuff, and I have access to the most incredible raw foods in the world. So. Right. You know, why not have it?
But you spend so much time on the road. How do you negotiate that? Because, I do too. And I can't always eat the way I like to on the road. Sometimes I just don't have a choice.
Right. I mean, me too. But I do navigate it. Okay. So, for example, sometimes I can't get an organic mango when I'm in Mexico. Yeah. But at least I can get a mango.
Right. You go.
You know, so I can get by in certain ways. I've been doing it for a long time. I've been doing this, the raw foods, at a significant level in my life for about 23 years. Totally raw foods for 18 years.
Wow. So one of my favorite things to eat is steamed broccoli and tofu over brown rice with hummus. But I guess that's like junk food to you because it's all cooked, right?
Well, I mean, I'm a raw broccoli fanatic. I love raw broccoli.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of a dinner I had the other night where I was just dipping raw broccoli, the heads of raw broccoli, into like guacamole and all these dill sauces that we made in the blender. And it was awesome. Yeah. Super amazing.
Very cool. Well, I've had such a blast talking to you today.
Right on. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you.
And this is Eric Anselm, just reminding all of you that it's the simple things in life that are what matters most.